with an anointing in the house and with the presence tangible here where we are today. I'm believing that for everyone who's worshiping elsewhere, at home or wherever you may be, this same presence, this same anointing breaks every yoke of bondage. The thing in your life that's choking the life out of you is broken today. And this is, I believe, for many, a Kairos moment. Those who've gone to Bible school here or somewhere else, you know that's a Greek word for time, and it means a window of opportunity. I believe God has some things He's ready to share with us today that we've never been ready to receive before. This is a consecrated hour, and it's all about God. Let's pray and ask His blessing on us today. Father, thank You for showing up at Your house and meeting with Your people, and Your agenda is better than ours. We have a little plan. Yours is much greater. Your plan includes ministering to every need and meeting every need we have. We're trusting You to do that, and we're trusting You in the timing of it. In Jesus' name, and everyone said amen. Before you're seated, wave at somebody across the room and just to speak a blessing to them. Thank you, praise and worship team, for taking us there always in the presence of God. As you are seated, I do want to mention that the greatest need we have as a church family this morning is praying for the family of Joseph DuBose. Joseph DuBose went home to be with the Lord just a few days ago. He is the picture of a perfect, faithful man to the church. He would sit right here for many years. His son Carlos would sit near him and worship together here with us. And Joseph was 76 years old. He and his wife have been married 53 years. They have three children, Carlos, that we know very well, and two daughters. So this family, the DuBose family, needs our prayers this morning. We will miss our dear faithful brother, Joseph, momentarily, but we will be with him again soon. I do want to mention that the memorial service for Brother Joseph will be this Tuesday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon at the National Cemetery. So your prayers for this great family are appreciated. I should also mention that Lawrence Tuning, who is a faithful man to us and to God all over the world, had a very special live concert prepared for this evening. It has been postponed due to COVID. One of the members in the band has been exposed, and so that will be rescheduled. Lawrence is celebrating 50 years in ministry this month, and so we've anticipated that great event. It will take place. It will be worth the wait. Let me also mention that Joe Bull, one of our faithful men. Joe, you're here today. I saw you come in. Somewhere you are. There he is back there. Joe has just published his second book. Some of you got it last week. I was privileged to get one of the first copies. Thank you, Joe, for coming straight to me with your first printing. And this book is powerful. It is a reflection of the man we know and love. And if you didn't get one last week, we have some here at the church. They're $16 each. Just give us a call or drop by during office hours, and you'll be blessed by the gift in our brother Joe Bull. The name of his book is You're About to Do Great Things, and it's volume 2. Better than the first one, if you can believe it. I want to mention that this Saturday, the world celebrates Halloween. What we're doing is having trunk or treat here at the church in the parking lot, of course, from 5 to 7. That's this Saturday, October 31. Come and enjoy a little fellowship at a distance, even in your cars, and get a bag of candy for your children. It's a big bag, and so it's from 5 to 7 or until the candy runs out. And now, do you want a little bit of good news before the good news? Next week, in fact, next Saturday night, is the one day in the year we all look forward to. It's when we set our clocks back an hour and we get an extra hour to rest before we get up and come to church on Sunday. So we'll email you a reminder next Saturday morning about the time change. It's time to fall back. Today at 6, all of you parents and grandparents with children in our kids' church, tune in for our kids' ministry on Facebook live stream every Sunday at 6. And then let me mention a word about the offerings. You know, we've been a few weeks without even mentioning it. And I want to get very real with you. If you had told me, or if you had told any pastor 8 months ago, that you would not be able to pass the offering plate in your church services for the rest of the year. Well, I would have had a heart attack probably on the spot. Most of my pastor friends would have. But I want to give a good report to you today. Even though we've not received an offering in a conventional way since early March, we've not had to delay or postpone or cancel or cut back any of our offerings to home missions and world missions. That's a testimony. A testimony to the goodness of God and the faithfulness of His people. Thank you. Here's what has happened since early March. Every offering that has come into this church has been given intentionally. You remember how it used to be, the time to receive an offering in a service, ushers passing the offering bags, and it's easy just to carelessly toss something in. We pastors call it tipping God. But you've not been able to do that for months and months. Every gift has been an intentional gift. And God will intentionally bless your faithfulness in giving. There are several ways to give. We will mention it today. And thank you for your faithfulness in this. But if you're here in the service, and we are glad to see you, there is a basket on the table in the back of the church. You can drop your tithe and offering there. If you're not here today, worshiping with us by live stream, three ways to give. First of all, you can mail your gift to the church. And our mailing address is Post Office Box 2244, Florence, zip is 29503. Or you can donate online. Go to our website, alcflorence.com, and you'll find a donate prompt there. And you can safely and securely give that way. Many of you do. Thank you for that. Or if you'd like to drop by the church, there is a secure, safe deposit box on the wall outside at the office door. And so either way you want to give, you have to do it intentionally. You have to break a sweat to be faithful in your giving, and you have to do it with great intention. So thank you for that. Today, I want to speak to you on the subject of Solomon's blank check. Solomon was the son of the great King David. After David passed away, the throne of Israel was handed to Solomon. And one day, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream. And the Lord said to Solomon, "What do you want? Ask me, and I will give it to you." And Solomon's reply was something like this: "Well, Lord, my father, King David, has passed away, and the throne now is mine. And I'm unqualified within myself to govern the people of God." And so Solomon answered the question God asked him: "What do you want? Ask me and I will give it to you." By saying, "Give me wisdom that I can govern your people." And in 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning at verse 10, it says, "The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for wisdom. So God replied, 'Because you have asked for wisdom in governing my people with justice, and have not asked for a long life or wealth or the death of your enemies, I will give you what you ask for. I will give you a wise and understanding heart such as no one else has had or ever will have.' And God said, 'And I will also give you what you did not ask for, riches and fame. No other king in all the world will be compared to you for the rest of your life.'" What a beautiful story. As you know, Solomon was given that measure of wisdom from God. He would later go on to write the book of Proverbs, which we know to be the book of wisdom. And he ruled God's people during times of victory. But imagine God asking Solomon that question. Better yet, this morning, let's imagine God asking us that question: "What do you want?" And then hearing him say, "I will give you what you ask for. I will give you what you ask for." It would be like God giving Solomon a blank check. "Here, fill it in. It's good, whatever you write down." It's a blank check. Fill in what you want. And God's promise was, "I will give you what you ask for." Now, Solomon already had enough wisdom to know what to ask for. And that's the way all of us are. We are in need of more wisdom today than we've ever needed in our lifetime. Look at our culture. Look at the country. Look at the world. Look at the mess we're dealing with all over the planet. But we've already been given a little bit of wisdom. Solomon had already received enough wisdom to know how to answer this great question and how to fill in the blank check God had offered him. He asked for wisdom. He would later write in one of the Proverbs, "Gaining wisdom," and he should know, "is better than finding gold." The Bible says also in Proverbs that wisdom is not that hard to receive. Solomon said, "Wisdom cries aloud in the streets. She raises her voice in the public square." So those of us who today are in a position of needing more wisdom, divine wisdom, godly wisdom, we can be comforted to realize it's easier to hear wisdom when she speaks than we think. Because wisdom raises her voices in the public square. The reason wisdom has to raise her voice occasionally in the public square is because there's so much noise around us these days. And so wisdom has to speak and cry aloud in order to be heard. And Solomon said, "Wisdom reaches us that way." Wouldn't it be wonderful to be Solomon? God saying to you, "What do you want? Here's a blank check. You fill it in. I will give you what you ask for. That's wonderful for Solomon. I mean, of course, all of us agree this morning, God made a great deal with Solomon. But what about us? I'm not Solomon. You're not Solomon. We're celebrating the deal God cut with Solomon, the blank check, and he handled that so wisely. But what about me? What about the wisdom I need? God was so good to Solomon after the deal was made and Solomon was granted wisdom. He cashed the check God had given him. It's almost like God saying, I want my man to have full access to my wisdom. And Solomon tapped into that. But what about us? It's one thing for Solomon to be given the wisdom of God so easily. But what about us? In James chapter 1, beginning at verse 5, it answers the question, what about us? The Bible says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask. Do what Solomon did. Let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Now, there's a lot right there in those few verses. And all of it's good. No matter how much education you have, no matter how many degrees you have after your name, no matter how old you are and how many years of life experience you have, no matter what socioeconomic class you're in, no matter how much money you have, still there are times when we are deficient of wisdom and we need more wisdom. Too often, even with all of the above, wisdom is in short supply. Let me say that wisdom is not the same as intelligence. A child can be wise and a king can be a fool. The dictionary defines wisdom as the ability to make right use of knowledge. Now, we can have all the knowledge in the world, but unless we have wisdom to execute the knowledge we have, we only have the knowledge that puffs us up, and it leads to pride. So wisdom is the principal thing. Solomon called it that. He said, above all else, get wisdom. Of all of the getting you do in your lifetime, Solomon said, make sure the thing you get the most is wisdom. Here's a spiritual definition. Wisdom is the practical, moral, and spiritual insight given by God that enables us to discern right from wrong and good from evil. It empowers a person to do and say the right thing at the right time. I could use some more of that. How many times have I said or did the right thing at the wrong time? And then it's another can of worms altogether. How many times I fail to even say or do the right thing, but even when I do and say the right thing, if it's not at the right time, my wisdom is insufficient. And God says, for His people, we don't have to live with an inadequacy, with a shortage of wisdom. And how easy it is to receive. It's as simple as asking God for it and not doubting when you ask. We get back to faith there. The thing we're saved by, the thing we live by, the thing we walk by? Faith. Has your wisdom ever been inadequate? Have you ever needed more? No matter who you are, whatever your position might be in life, the answer is yes. Yes, from time to time, we all need an infusion of divine wisdom. Abraham Lincoln said, and I quote him, "I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go." He said, "My wisdom and that of everyone around me seemed insufficient for the day." Anybody been there? I mean, even on your best day, run into a challenge, and you just needed godly wisdom to get through it. Maybe it's a situation in the home. You know, nobody knows what goes on under the roof of the next door neighbor. Everything can look real good on the outside. You can ride by a house and see the grass cut and the bushes all manicured and everything looking wonderful, but to be a fly on the wall inside of that house would be an eye-opener sometimes. In raising children these days, my God, give us wisdom, divine wisdom. Abraham Lincoln knew he needed it. "Driven many times to my knees because my wisdom was insufficient for the day." Proverbs 8, beginning at verse 35, says, speaking of wisdom, "For whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord. But those who miss me, miss out on wisdom, injure themselves. All who hate me love death." Oh, that's sobering words right there. "And life on planet Earth creates a demand for wisdom. We need wisdom to survive all that we're facing today." I found a verse of Scripture, and when I read it, it just really witnessed to me that this is what God is saying to His people during this hour and during these uncertain times in which we live. It's found in Isaiah 33, verse 6. It's almost like God wrote it this morning for us in our situation. He says, "Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times and the strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is His treasure." I'm telling you, we will find the stability of our times in God's wisdom. Now, all of us have been required to upgrade whatever our skill set might be since the pandemic began. We've been forced to think of different ways to do something, new ways of doing things, more efficient ways. We were not allowed to stay the way we were. We've had to become more equipped. Isn't God good to fully equip us for every season, even during uncertain times? Yesterday, all day long, I attended a pastor's conference. It was virtual. I was at my house, but I had to be in front of the computer all day. You know, I'm ordained, and our church is affiliated with Evangel Fellowship International. The organization is about 35 years old, founded by our bishop, Houston Miles. By the way, our bishop, Houston Miles, will turn 92 years old this coming Wednesday. He and Miss Evelyn both still doing well, thankfully. And their son, Philip Miles, is now the chairman of EFI, which is an organization of pastors and church leaders like me and like us all over the country and in 30 nations around the world. They're big on world missions. They're big on church planting. they're big on strengthening local churches here in America and encouraging every local church connected to them to connect to missionaries around the world. By the way, Brian Hudson, our homegrown missionary heroes, Brian and Millie, it's so good to have you here today. You did an amazing job in the conference yesterday. I mean, just it made me, after listening to you, if I hadn't have been a missionary already, I'd sign up to be a missionary today. Good job yesterday representing all that you're doing and God's doing in your nation of Nicaragua. But Philip Miles spoke during the conference yesterday, and he said about this pandemic, it's frustrating pastors and Christians not allowed to lay hands on people. The Bible says lay hands on the sick and pray the prayer of faith, and we're not allowed to get within 6 feet of anybody. But he said this, talking about wisdom. He said, we are going to comply with government guidelines. But so far, he said, no one has forbidden us to pray, preach, serve, or give. And then he made this statement. He said, this pandemic is God's stage for global revival. God, give us that much wisdom that we can take the mess the world is in and be the light you've called us to be your voice in a wilderness. God, help us do our part in setting the stage for global revival. Now, God didn't send the pandemic, but He's famous for taking things that are meant to be evil and turning it all around into something good. We need wisdom to navigate through these uncertain times. God, give us wisdom. It was easy for Solomon. It's just as easy for us. You tell us to do exactly what Solomon did. You said, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Without doubting. Now, God supplies wisdom and every other need we have to those who ask in faith. When it says God gives His wisdom liberally to those who ask, it means He gives it generously. It means He gives it without reserve. And God is not stingy with this gift. Isn't that available? I think we all need to stretch into the next higher level this morning when it comes to trusting God for the wisdom to survive all that we're facing today. Without reproach. He said, God will give it without reproach. That means God will give His wisdom without insulting you for asking. God will not make you feel foolish when you come to Him and ask for wisdom. It's a good thing, and He's gracious and liberal and generous, and He gives it with no cap, no limit, without reserve. The Passion Translation says, God won't see your lack of wisdom as an opportunity to scold you over your failures, but He will overwhelm your failures with His generous grace. Now, the Bible says here, ask in faith with no doubting. That's harder than it appears on the surface. Easy words, simple to understand in terminology, but it's a little more difficult to actually do it. I'm just being honest. Sometimes I've asked God for something because I needed it so desperately, and even while I was asking, I was wondering if. I was wavering. I was disputing with myself. That's what the word doubting means, to dispute with oneself. And here's the dilemma we find ourselves in. When we're asking God, it could be wisdom, that's the theme of the day, or it could be for any need we have to be met. We will ask But do we really believe without doubting while we ask? We've got to ask for it and believe for it at the same time. That's what faith people do. It's like the man who wants to know if his sweetheart loves him. The man is madly in love. This beautiful girl has stolen his heart. All he can think about is how beautiful she is and how much he loves her. But his question is, does she love me too? We've all been at that stage, you know, you remember. Little butterfly going off. And the man doesn't know any better than to go pick a flower and pick off petals one by one. She loves me. She loves me not. She loves me. She loves me not. And that's the way we are sometimes when we go to God and ask for Him to meet a need. Maybe God will. Maybe He won't. Maybe God will. But maybe He won't. And the Bible says, let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. That man is a double-minded man, and he's unstable, not only in this one thing he's asking for right now in the present moment, but the Bible says he's unstable in all of his life. Double-minded. One translation says, the ambivalent person believes one minute and doubts the next. You're up one minute and down the next. We've got to believe when we ask. I know such simple, small words, but more difficult to practice sometimes. In Matthew chapter 7, it tells us how easy it is to receive what we ask for if we believe. Jesus, preaching the Sermon on the Mount, he said, what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? Now, can I complain about the English language for a minute? I was told this 20 plus years ago by a friend of ours, and in fact our neighbor when we lived in Latvia for a year. She was our upstairs neighbor, and we met her the day we moved in. She spoke English fluently as well as Russian and Latvian. She was so good as a translator that the Soviet government hired her to translate for their officials. And she was a blessing to us, a Jewish lady. God bless. Ilana Ivanovich was her name. And I mispronounced it a few times over there, but nobody knew. And sweet Ilana told me one time, she said, Carl, the English language is so pitiful. And she was fluent. She was fluent in English. She said, the Russian language, not just Russian, I think Greek also, the Russian language has four times as many words as the English language. It's a much more colorful language, she said. And I've never forgotten that because there are a few words in English that are pitiful. Pitiful. I mean, even the word love, the same word for a hot dog, an apple pie, your grandmama, your grandbaby, football, baseball, love. Pitiful. The word ask is one of the most pitiful words in the English language. I'll tell you what it means in Greek when you ask for something. It means you crave it. It means you desire it. And it means you even go a step further. When you ask God for something, you require it. to ask God for something is to crave it. Now, that's a stronger word than ask, crave. You desire it. That's a stronger word. And then you require it. Our asking God for wisdom or for whatever need we may have comes along with our pulling on it. We're requiring it of God. There's some action involved. The simple three-letter word in English, ask, does not paint the perfect picture of what we're really talking about today. You go to God in prayer, you crave it, you desire it, and you don't get up from there until you require it of God. And if it's in the book and a promise He made and you've met the conditions, He says, I will give you what you ask for. Now, God gets turned off with His children, me first, when I pretend to ask for something and He knows I don't really believe it. My faith is not quite there. My words may say one thing, but the faith that's working in my heart may be falling short of that. And in Psalm 78, verse 41, there's a verse of Scripture, and it's shocking. It says, time and time again, they tested God's patience and limited the Holy One of Israel. I'm going to tell you about God. This much I know. God is sovereign and He can do all things. And the only limitations God has are the ones we place on Him. That's how powerful He is. Unlimited in power. The only limitations God has are the ones we place on Him. How can we possibly limit God? The Bible clearly tells us, with our doubt and our unbelief. Now, Jesus, when He was alive in the earth, 3.5 years of ministry, He was on a miracle tour. Literally, He went from one village to another town to another city, through the woods, through the wilderness, in the mountains, by the sea, on the sea. Everywhere He went, miracles. He had already raised dead people, opened blind eyes. I mean, He was on a miracle tour throughout that part of the world. And He entered into a certain village. And there was so much unbelief there that the Bible says He could do no great miracles there. And I think it finishes with a passé, just to finish the thought. He could do no great miracles in that town, except He did heal a few mildly sick people. Imagine it. He shows up in a town, He sees so much need, and He knows He has the power to minister and meet every need, and yet for the Bible to say in that town, He could do no great miracles because of the doubt and unbelief. There were people that showed up to church that day sick that didn't get healed. There were people that showed up that day with great needs and none of them got met except a few minor sicknesses healed. Why? Because the only limitations God has are the ones we place on Him. Time and time again, they tested God's patience and limited the Holy One of Israel. Let it not be said at Abundant Life Church. Let it not be said of Florence, South Carolina. Let it not be said at your house where you are, or at your house where you are right now, that Jesus showed up, He saw the needs under your roof, and He could not do anything great because there was doubt and unbelief. People didn't know how to ask, how to crave, how to desire, and how to require of the Lord. God's wanting to minister and to meet our needs. And especially today, when it comes to wisdom, Solomon's blank check God, I'll give you what you want. Write down what you want. Just tell me, what do you want? What do you want? I will give you what you ask for. Wouldn't it be great for God to make that statement to us? What do you want? I will give you what you ask for. Ask. Just ask. When it comes to wisdom, Ephesians 1:8 says, He has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Colossians 2:3 says, In Him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians 3:16 says, Christ dwells in you richly in all wisdom. Does anybody in here believe that? Dwells in us richly in all wisdom. Lord, me first. I'm first in line. I need more. I'm asking and I'm believing at the same time for wisdom. I want to close with this. It can be our benediction, a spoken blessing. Ephesians 1:17 says, That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The spirit of wisdom and revelation. I'll just put it in a category. I know people who have some wisdom. And I know a few people who have the spirit of wisdom. There's a difference. It's another level. We all have some wisdom. Solomon already had enough to know what to ask for, and he asked for more wisdom. There is one thing to have some wisdom, but God's word just promised us right there, Ephesians 1:17, life can be even better than that. We don't simply just need to have some wisdom, we can be given the spirit of wisdom. And that is the Holy Spirit. Would you stand with me, please? Everybody stand. I want to speak to those who are here in the sanctuary with us today. Thank you for coming. And I want to speak to those who are watching on Facebook. There are needs in your life. Of course there are. Each of us have needs, and some of us have more than one need. Today has been a lesson in how to receive your needs met, how to receive what you need from God. In Solomon's case, he was very aware, I need wisdom to do what I'm responsible for doing. All of us need that. But then we have other needs too. If there are those here, are there, and you don't know the forgiveness of your sin, you're not absolutely sure, you're not certain of your eternal salvation, that's your greatest need, by far the greatest. Take care of that, and so many of the others will fall in line quickly. And in order to do that, you just surrender your life. It's not complicated. Just give up. And say, Lord Jesus, please take over the mess I'm in. Get me out of this mess. Minister to me. Meet needs that I have. Make wrong things right. Make crooked paths straight for me. He can do it. Just turn to Him, ask Him, and believe Him, and He will do it. Confess Jesus as your Lord. Then there are so many needs. I know most of our people. I know a lot of what many of you are going through. All of us in need of something. So let's ask and believe right now. Father, I thank you for an opportunity to hear your word clearly this morning. As we've heard your word, our faith has been increased, and now we find it much easier to ask you for some things than it was even an hour ago, because faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Our faith right now is at an all-time high. We dare to ask you And we dare to believe you. At the same time, we ask for you to minister to the needs of your people. Lord, those who are struggling in marriages or other relationships, those who are estranged from their own children, some who may not even know where one of their children is right now. The heartbreak of losing a loved one, a family member like the DeBose family today. Great needs for comfort and peace and strength. Lord, we're asking, we're craving it. We're desiring it, and we're pulling on it right now. We're requiring it of you right now. Keep your word to us as we ask and believe at the same time for you to show up at our house and make things better than they are. Those who are sick in their body, so many are, so many in our church family dealing with different illnesses and weaknesses. We pray healing and strength for your people today. Those who are suffering a lack of finances or employment or direction for their life, Lord, we will seek you and we will find when we search for you with all of our heart and when we find you all of the wisdom and prudence we need to live this life on earth is found in you. So I speak a blessing now over our people, every member and friend of Abundant Life Church family, and others who may be watching right now. Would you prove yourself to be the God who keeps His word? Would you do it today? And would you do it this week in their life, in their families, and at their house? Be real to them in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. God bless you. Thank you for being with us today, and thank you for watching. Have one of the best weeks you've ever had in your life. That's our prayer for you.